The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 today. As you're getting ready to go there, I want to ask you a question or maybe help you. If you could help me by filling in the blank to this statement, the only good snake is a, there you go, dead snake. We know that's not true. We get corrected on that all the time. But in the back of my mind, it rings every time I see a snake in the yard. Immediately, the phrase that comes to mind is, the only good snake's a dead snake. Now, I know there are some beneficial snakes in the animal kingdom, and there's some that'll get you. About a year ago this week, I probably shouldn't tell Karen's story without asking her. Karen got bit by a snake at our house. Weren't able to prove what it was because he got away so fast, but took her to the emergency room, and they watched her forever. So, I think she had to sit there 6 hours and wait to see if it were to swell up and show any signs of being a venomous snake. But in that day, to me, the only good snake was a dead snake. We just assumed it was a bad one. It's the same thing about weeds, by the way. The only good weed is a dead weed. Y'all agree with that? Except weeds are hard to identify sometimes. I grew up in a place that where we, you know, our side job at our family was to bale hay for other people. So we baled hay all the time, every day of the summer. If it wasn't raining, we were cutting hay or raking hay or baling hay. My earliest memory of driving was not on a four-wheeler. It was on a Ford tractor. And it was pulling a rake, raking up hay into windrows so that you can come back later on and bale that up. And there was a certain kind of grass in that part of the country that I was raised that was considered bad grass. And it was bad grass because it had all kinds of negative effects on the equipment. Now, you may recognize, I probably could ask you what grass that was, and the grass was needle grass. I haven't seen a lot of needle grass in this part of the country like we did had it there, but needle grass had a 25-inch root base. So it went way down deep. This deep roots caused it to be difficult to get rid of. I know it was kind of thin and wispy and slick and tough, and it would get between the blades of the cutter, and as you were cutting the grass, it would cause a streak of good grass and bad grass behind the cutter not to be harvested. So you could kind of get a picture. Those of you who know what ranching and farming might be like, you know that's what you've seen that before. Or maybe when you turn a corner, not all of the corner gets cut when you turn that corner. So that grass was a bad grass. We looked out for that. We didn't want to have that anywhere on our property, but we ran into it all the time on other people's property. When we run into that grass, you worry about carrying the seeds to somewhere else. You don't know if you're going to carry that needle grass seed with you. I don't know enough about how it grows to how it propagates, whether that was good or bad, but we had to clean the equipment out before you went to the next place because you didn't want to spread bad stuff among the good stuff. Well, Jesus is talking a lot about the bad stuff and the good stuff when it comes to seeds today. Yesterday, by the way, when I was riding I was trying to mow the hay field. It is my yard. I've been gone 2 weeks, and you know what? It rained every day. When it rained all the time and we got good sunshine and we have great grass down here, your grass grows and it gets nice and thick. So I was out mowing it on the top level of the mower setting, up there on number 5, mowing it so I could get through it. And out of the grass came a snake. And this snake was he was whipping along and going fast, trying to get away from me, trying to keep from getting his head cut off. And I stopped and looked at him, tried to get my camera out so I could take a picture of him to identify him. Before I could get the camera out of the pocket and look at this thing, he was gone. So I kept on looking for him, found him again, got a picture. He was a safe snake. It was trouble identifying. It is difficult in the church to identify things that are good and things that are bad. People that are living as believers, following as disciples that believe in Jesus and have submitted their life to Him or growing in Him, and those that are just going along with the game. Now, I have to say, I can identify some things pretty well. You know what I can identify in grass? I can identify Bahia grass. Can y'all identify Bahia grass? Not very hard. You don't have to be a genius to identify that. It grows higher than everything else, and it's kind of sticks up with seeds in the air. You can see that. But in the church, there are people that are living among us, and sometimes it's in a great big group even, sometimes it's a smaller group, that are just going along with Christianity, and who knows why they're there. They may be in a church to make themselves feel better. They might be in churches to have friends, to meet people. They might be in churches to have power, to have recognition, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Now, we'll say the one great benefit we got from the pandemic in 2020 is we got to cut a lot of weeds in 2020. I don't know if y'all realize that. But what happened, we went through that pandemic, and it was difficult to gather together, and your people's patterns changed, and they were not used to going to church anymore, and some of the weeds got sifted. Those that are there just for the social reasons or for the reasons of political, maybe even to gain advantage with their business. Some of those folks got sifted. But it still exists. It still exists in the body of Christ. Jesus is a teacher that uses parables. He uses common stories. That's, if you wonder why I'm a storyteller and why I chose that way to preach, it's because I read it in the Bible. I saw that a long time ago. It spoke to me in my simple mind and simple heart and in a way that I would understand that. And Jesus does this over and over in the New Testament. He will take something of the everyday life that all of these people would have known, that all of them experienced, and they would not only understand it, but it would speak to their heart. It would speak to the very being of who they were. And he was able to teach in a way that he would say something that it had like, songs have this, by the way. They call it a hook. And they have a hook. That hook, that beat, that word, that phrase would grab a hold of you and it would stick in your mind. And when you would think about that thing, that particular thing, you'd think about Jesus. So here he is using the common life of some of farmers or people in general planting seeds, and those seeds are going to have going to take root and going to grow. And he spends the most famous part of this kind of teaching is found in the very first part in Matthew 13, verse 1, the parable of the sower. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the parable of the sower because we know the story of the parable of the sower. Sower goes out, a farmer goes out, he casts the seed into the field, and when he casts the seed, it lands in good places and bad places. There's a place that it'll grow, a place that it won't grow. If it lands on rocks, lands on your driveway, might not grow. Lands on my driveway, it's probably going to sprout, so I'll have to weed eat it later. You plant it in bad soil, the bad soil doesn't produce. You plant it among weeds, it grows up with the weeds, and the weeds choke it out, and it dies back. You see that parable is very clear to us, and I think we've done a good job in the church teaching that parable. That when you share the gospel with someone, anyone, when anyone receives Jesus and they begin to grow in Him, it's important for us to attend the growth, to spend time with them, to talk to them, to help them make decisions, to help them grow out of old patterns into new patterns, to help them see right from wrong, help them make good choices. It's nurturing and help them grow up. Just like we are helping children grow up, we are helping these young believers grow up. The unbelievers will need guidance. And that's what Jesus is teaching in the parable of the sower. He's also saying there will be people that hear the gospel that don't respond. That don't grow at all. We need to be ready for that. I don't know if you were appalled by the opening of the Olympic Games when the scene was on of the allegedly the Last Supper. possibly a Greek god banquet. There's an argument on Facebook which one it really is. But I want to tell you, all you're seeing is weeds. No matter what it is. If they're mocking the Last Supper, it's weeds. If it's a celebration of the sensual gods of Greece, then it's weeds. What you're seeing is that we live in a lost world. We live in a lost world. We know that. We should know that very well. All that we face and encounter every day, all the media we consume, we're going to see the lostness of the world, the weeds of the world. And Jesus is teaching about that very, very clearly. But when he gets to verse 24, he tells another parable that I don't hear preached a whole lot. I do hear it in revivals, by the way. There are preachers that preach revivals that like to talk about the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares. You may have heard that sermon before, where there is a difference between the fruit of God and the fruit of the devil. Verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and he sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. This is our problem with the church right now. We got so many weeds growing in the patch that we can't tell the difference. There's so many folks that live a certain kind of life. Maybe they live a moral life. Maybe they live a kind life of kindness. But they also have wickedness as the base of who they are. And they're blended in among the church, among the body of Christ, sometimes in our community. And we don't want to believe that they don't know Jesus. So we kind of think that might be what being a Christian is really like. Living compromised. That's why it's so difficult. I watched Christians argue over this opening ceremonies for the last 24 hours, argue on Facebook whether we should comment about it, whether we should not comment about it, whether we should be kind and accepting of their beliefs, whether we should take a stand against that, whether we should boycott the Olympics altogether, if we boycott the Olympics, we're punishing the athletes. You know, all this argument's going on, and I want to tell you is the world, and particularly a lot of Christians, cannot tell the wheat from the tares. Can't see the difference, evil and good. The reason they can't see the difference between evil and good, there's not been enough time spent looking at the good, thinking about the fruit of what the good is. Or maybe we've mistaken tolerance with Christ-likeness. You don't think that's possible? I think we have. I think we've mistaken tolerance for Christ-likeness. Because we want to be like Jesus. We want to love people unconditionally. And somehow that translates from that Holy Spirit working in your life. It translates into, I'm just going to accept everything. Tolerance. I'm going to tell you, that's what not what Jesus is teaching here at all. He's going to give a very clear picture of what happens in the end of time. Is that tolerance is going to become harvest. And there will be a day of harvest in the end. So here it is, the enemy comes along, sows the weed among the wheat, and went away. People would do that back in this day. If you had an enemy, a fellow farmer that was competing with you, and he was an enemy of you, he would take these seeds, and he would go out in your field and cast it in the field, and it was just like planting needle grass in a hayfield. He would throw those, it's called darnel, this darnel wheat, or the tares, and it was thrown among the good stuff. Among the wheat that was sown. It would take root. And this weed, by the way, was so toxic that if you ate enough of this weed, it would kill you. So if animals, if cows came along, if sheep came along, whatever animal that we ate that foraged on that food, humans, they ate a little bit of it, it made them dizzy. So you could eat some darnel along with your wheat and you'd get dizzy. You get a little bit of vertigo. Eat a little more of it, you might get nauseous. You eat too much of it, it's going to kill you. And I want to tell you, the church has been eating some darnel. I want to tell you, church is dizzy. Church is dizzy. consumed some of that world. Consuming that world in a way that we don't fully understand and see everything that God is doing around us. And He's working all around us all the time. He's in control. He's the one in power. It's His plan that we are living out, living through. He is in charge of all of us, every daily thing, but we don't quite fully understand that. And Jesus needs to speak to us in parables so that we will understand it. Understand how He's working. So verse 26, when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds appeared. And this darnel mimicked wheat. So when it was planted among the wheat, you have two of them, two juvenile plants standing side by side. You couldn't tell the difference. You couldn't tell which one was weed, which one was wheat, because they had not matured yet, had not grown up to produce that head that would show the kernel of wheat. And as it growed, it still looked the same. Then it eventually would grow up, and one would produce great fruit, and one would have miniature fruit. And that miniature fruit was the weed. Now, if you were to try to pull those weeds, you couldn't pull them. It was a lot like that needle grass. It had weeds that had roots that dug deep into the soil. And if you were to pull out a weed when it was juvenile, it would also pull out that juvenile wheat plant. And you would lose both. So when you harvested early, or you tried to clean it out early, you would cause damage to the crop. So the owner's servants came to him and said, that's verse 27 of 13, Matthew 13. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now, Jesus is speaking about more than just sowing wheat in this parable. He's talking about today till the end of time. And when He returns, that harvest will happen. There will be a harvest. We can expect that. And it's going to be severe what happens to the weeds. He's saying, let that happen in my time. And let me tell you something comforting I get out of this, is that it's not up to me to pull weeds. Did you get that when you read that? It's not up to me to pull the weeds. Now, I'm not going to pour any fertilizer on the weeds. But He told me not to pull the weeds. He's in charge. He's in charge of all this. I've visited a bunch of churches in my life, and there have been churches that have been easy to identify that are full of strong believers. You walk out of that church, you say, "That was a good church. That was a good church." Some churches you walk out of, you think, "I'm not sure all of them were saved. I'm not sure that was the body of Christ. That might have been a social group." Look around the room. You look on this side of the room. You see a couple sitting here. And I'm pointing in front of y'all just so you know. This couple sitting over here. And the husband grew up as a disciple. And he was raised up. He met a girl in college. And that girl in college liked him a lot. And she went ahead and converted because she wanted to be part of that body of Christ. But she never has been fully sold out and bought into the church. And I'm wondering, is she wheat or a weed? Did she just join this church because she wanted to be married to that guy? Now, the reason I use the girl guy is usually the other way around. She's the other way around. Guy's coming in because the woman's just committed. You look at a group and you see a guy over there in the back of the room. There's a guy who has a business that is really dependent upon sales. Spent upon sales. And the better social network you have, the better sales you have. So it is good to be part of groups. And then this particular group, this body, that church that they joined, that person's a member of that. They might as well be a member of Rotary, which is a good thing, by the way. I think that's a good organization. I don't know much more about it than the good that they do. But they're not a church. They're not a church. That guy's there. That woman's there. She's there to make money among the people. More than anything, I've seen people that are joining churches just to meet people they can marry. Got to get a good one. At least I got a better chance at church than anywhere else. They're not. Most of the time they're weeds. They're weeds. And I can't tell. I'm looking among them. I may talk to them. I might interview them. I might have long conversations with them. And because of discernment, I usually can tell in that conversation. But on surface, I can't tell wheat from a weed. But I have confidence, and this scripture gives me more confidence that that job is not in my hands. It's in the hands of the Lord. But then there will be a day in the end when Jesus comes and his harvesters will come in and they will separate the weeds from the wheat. We can have confidence in that. You can know that's true. Jesus said it. It's confirmed with the book of Revelation. It's confirmed with the teachings of Paul. We know that there will be a time when Jesus returns. We got some questions for the church today, though. I want to ask you these questions to see if you can answer them. See if you can tell me. Don't answer this one out loud. Do we have weeds in the church? Do we have weeds in this church? I got to tell you, this church looks a little bit like my yard looks, by the way, just so you know. Is that I got advice last winter because I knew that there was a wedding coming up in my yard and I wanted it to look good. I wanted a TV wedding. Yeah, I didn't get it. But I wanted it. And I thought, I got to do something about this yard. I asked a professional landscaper, lawn keeper, to come over and look at it. And he said, all you need is 3 or 4 bags of lime and some triple 13, and you probably need to put out some pre-emerge. It gave me the times on which to do all that. Or weed and feed, basically. Weed and feed. I put out a bunch of weed and feed. And let me tell you what that did is I got a big empty patch right there in the yard. A big one. I only got, because all the clover was gone. All the clover was gone. All the hay grass was gone. All the, anything that was a weed, it got. That stuff worked. And it looked like, I looked like somebody who had been hazed and somebody shaved their head and had never given somebody a haircut before. You know what I'm talking about? Hair and a bald patch. All over the whole yard. This church is full of wheat. This church is full of wheat. But you need to be aware there are going to be some weeds. There are going to be some weeds in the church. Are there weeds in your life? In your circle of friends, in your family, are the people who look like they're followers that are not. I want to tell you, they're weeds. They're weeds in the family. You need to be aware of it. What do you do when you recognize a weed? You're going to see, the Holy Spirit allows you to see things that it's revealed to you by the Spirit. You didn't reveal that, you didn't understand that in the flesh. The Holy Spirit told you that and made you aware of that. Because he made you aware of that, then you are able to see it. See it. People with the gift of discernment see that quicker. So those with the gift of power of the Holy Spirit in their life also see it. What do you do when you see it? Well, you need to live carefully with your entanglements. Don't entangle yourself in the roots of a weed. It'll get your lives so intermixed with them that you can't pull away. You can't get away without causing damage. Live carefully with your entanglements. Don't judge that weed. It's the Lord's job. And the last thing is, untangle your life gently and get away. Don't marry an unbeliever. Don't marry an unbeliever. I know I'm talking to a crowd that doesn't care about that. But I talk to a crowd weekly that's much younger. And to that bunch, those college kids, I say to them, do not marry an unbeliever. Don't entangle yourself. Don't be unequally yoked because you're entangling your life into the life of someone that is going to choke you out spiritually. Here's the last question. Are you a wheat or a weed? You know, when you hear sermons, when you hear the Holy Spirit speak, when God speaks to your heart, He will identify with you whether you're lost or saved. And you'll know it. You may deny it, but you'll know it. You may live among wheat, but you know you're a weed. You may live among people who produce fruit, but you produce trouble. And the Holy Spirit is telling you now, and this more than likely somebody will watch this or hear this on the radio, and they'll hear in their spirit, I am living away from God. I'm a weed. And because I'm a weed, I'm going down a path that's going to lead to destruction. And let me tell you real clear and be honest with you, and this is what the church needs to do much more often. We need to set aside tolerance a little bit, and we need to tell truth. People who don't know Jesus will spend eternity in the lake of fire. They'll be gathered up and thrown into the fire. And we're not talking about some whimsical, oh, it's hot here, I'm burning my feet walking. We're talking about torture. Torture for eternity. And that's what's going to happen to the weed. Torture for eternity. Jesus goes back and explains that in clearer language in verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Now, isn't that interesting that all those things Jesus had been talking about, they didn't ask him to talk about the sowing among rocks. Didn't ask about that. Didn't ask about the mustard seed. He said, tell us what you're talking about with those weeds. I want to know. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest and the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. So let's just assume that Lord's Supper depiction at the Olympics was really the Lord's Supper. Or let's just say it was the Dionysus festival. Either one. You know what you saw? Children of the devil. That's what you saw. It's there. It's everywhere. We see it. The enemy has sown it among us. And we're supposed to accept that if you don't accept that you're not tolerant, you must be evil. That's what the world's telling us. These harvesters, these angels, you see what happens in verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil, they will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears? Let them hear. People need to hear this. Don't need to cover it up. Don't need to pretend it's not true. Don't need to wish it wasn't true. The devil is alive and at work in this world. And it's right in front of us. And there'll be a harvest. There will be a harvest, and there will be payment. There'll be retribution. I was told in management training that you should do a compliment sandwich when you're correcting somebody. I don't know if you ever heard this before, but you tell them something good about themselves. Then you tell them the hard truth, and then on top of that, you lay another little compliment to make them feel better about themselves so they won't cry when they leave your office. That's that management style of compliment sandwich. Well, I quit doing that. I do an open face. I like the open-faced sandwich because I don't eat that much bread anymore. So you got that? You got that? You tell some good, you tell the hard truth on top of it. Well, today I started it with the hard truth, laid it out there clear. The hard truth is we live in a world that is fallen and the devil is among us. Now let's tell you the good part. Go back to the parable of the mustard seed, verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the field. And though it's the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes like a tree so that birds can come and perch in its branches. If you have faith in Jesus, just a little bitty bit of faith, all that you're able to muster up, faith in Jesus. You have that tiny faith in Him and you're trusting Him and you allow Him to tend your garden, it will grow to be a powerful plant. Maybe you're not able to completely, fully understand everything that's talked about in church. Maybe you don't fully understand all that Jesus is trying to say through His parables. Maybe you're confused by what's weed and what's weeds. Maybe you want people, everyone to be saved, so you just assume that God loves everybody and everybody's going to be saved. It's all going to be sorted out in the end. But maybe you're in trouble with all that. Can't get it all nailed down. But if you have faith in Jesus, a tiny faith in Jesus, and you trust Him, He will grow you up. He'll grow you up in Him. Sometimes we have some consternation, and I'll mention this in church from time to time. I have a little bit of consternation about Vacation Bible School because you're talking to very young and very impressionable people, and you're telling them the ABCs, you tell them how to accept Christ, and your whole intention is to evangelize the world, and Jesus says, suffer the little children, they come unto me. I think we're called to do VBS, by the way. Called to do it. But we might worry about a little bitty faith. Some of those little bitty faiths are great big mustard plants in the making. God's going to do great things through that kid that gets saved. God's going to do great things through that person who seems so lost and suddenly they trust Jesus. He's going to grow them. That's the meat of this passage. Is that Jesus saves, all you got to do is trust Him. Have faith in Him. And He's in control of everything else. So what does this mean to us? What if? What do we do now? What we do now is we examine the life of ourselves and our church. Examine what needs to be done to nurture the wheat. To fertilize the wheat, to help it to grow. You need to spend a lot of time in the Word. You need to commit to worship. You need to commit to gathering together. You need to encourage each other. You need to love on people. You need to share the gospel. That's fertilizer. That's fertilizer. You need to pray often. That's fertilizer. That's what we do. That's the what if. But what if you're lost and you're a weed? What you do is you turn to Jesus in simple faith and trust Him. And turning to Jesus in simple faith and trusting Him will change the nature of who you are. And you won't be a weed anymore. Not at all. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this teaching of Jesus, this whole book of teaching about seeds. And Lord, how You take something simple to lay out truth to us and help to edify us and strengthen us. And today I believe we've been fertilized because of the time we spent together in worship. We've sang praises to Your name. We've prayed for people. We've listened to Your word. We've taught and thought about Jesus. And And Lord, today we know we've been strengthened and we've grown in you. But Father, it's also highlighted the lostness of this world. And I pray that we would have peace in the middle of this lost world, but that you're in control. But Father, I also pray for a great revival, that those weeds would become wheat. And Lord, they would trust you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.